We will, let's go ahead and actually start off our call. This is Emily with One Star Foundation. This is our monthly updates from the field grand team call. I am joined by our entire AmeriCorps Texas team here in the room with me, and you'll be hearing from each of us at some point throughout the call. We have a jam-packed agenda for you today. Hopefully you all received that via email earlier today, along with some other important updates on the NSCHC assessment process, so we will talk about that later on in the call. But I do want to remind everybody that today's call is being recorded, and we will be sharing that out with everybody after the call if you have staff who couldn't join you today. This is a required call, so I'm going to go ahead and we'll take attendance now at the beginning of the call, and we'll take attendance at the very end of the call for anybody else who joined us during the course of the call. So I will call out your program and just let me know if you are represented and who from your organization is with you. So the first one is Amarillo ISD, American Youth Works, Austin Independent School District, and keep in mind if you are muted, I can't hear you, so be sure to unmute yourself if you are on the call. And then just re-mute yourself after you are done speaking. So I'm not hearing anybody from Amarillo, American Youth Works, or Austin ISD yet. Is that correct? Okay. Avance?
This is Aisha.
Hi, Aisha.
Hi.
Boys and Girls Club of Austin?
This is Caroline Anthony.
Thanks, Caroline. Breakthrough? Here.
Mariko Pryor is here.
I'm sorry, who was that? Mariko?
Yeah, it's Mariko.
Hi, Mariko. City Square?
This is Elizabeth Van Ort.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Communities and Schools, Central Texas?
This is Jennifer.
Okay, thanks, Jennifer. Communities and Schools, Heart of Texas?
This is Meredith.
Thanks, Meredith. Front Steps?
Hey, it's Lori.
Hi, Lori. Harris County Department of Education?
Hi, it's Nakaje.
Thanks, Nakaje. Literacy Coalition of Central Texas?
Rip Rowland here.
Thanks, Rip. Project Grad Houston?
Hi, this is Arlette.
Thanks, Arlette. Project Transformation? Reading Partners?
Hi, Brittany Prince and Ashley Heffer on the line.
Thank you, ladies. Swift?
Hi, this is Heather, and Joe and Sylvan are also here.
Hi, everyone. Teach for America? UT Brownsville?
Hi, this is Larissa.
Hi, Larissa. Travis County?
This is Jacqueline.
Hi, Jacqueline. United Way of El Paso County?
Colleen Peluso.
Thanks, Colleen.
Mm-hmm.
University of North Texas, Hippie?
This is Tracy Crosswhite.
Hi, Tracy.
Hi.
And UT Ace.
Hi, Emily. This is Nathan and Katie.
Hi, guys. And has anybody else joined us that has not yet checked in?
Yeah, here's Aaron Allen from Texas Conservation Corps.
Hi, Aaron.
This is Cameron from College Forward checking in again.
Okay, we've got you.
Yep. Karen and Linda with AIC AmeriCorps.
Thank you, ladies. Anybody else?
Hi, Karen Riddle with Texas Family Literacy Initiative.
Okay, thanks. Anybody else? All right, we'll take attendance one more time at the end of the call. We're going to go ahead and get started. Our first update will come to you from our grants officer team. So we're going to start off with Laura and Miranda talking about final APRs.
All right. So I know a number of you have had some problems submitting the final APR. We did send out an email or a number of emails apologizing for the issues that we're having with the links.
So the APR is due at midnight tonight, and we are trying to troubleshoot on our end and figure out what's going on. We have heard from a number of you that you've been able to submit successfully, but a few of you have been running into problems even whenever, no matter which browser you're using or which link you're trying to use, either your own unique link or the general blank form. So again, we sincerely apologize, and we're working to figure out what's going on. And if you need to make alternate arrangements to submit your APR because you're having problems, just let either myself or Miranda know, and we can certainly work with you to ensure that we're getting the data we need, and you're not having to do the same work over and over and over again. So we sincerely apologize for the inconvenience. And we hope to have a better system in place by the time the next APR is due.
This is Miranda, and just reminding you, we believe it works better in Google Chrome, so if you are able to access that web browser, we recommend trying that.
Thank you. Great, and this is Anna jumping in on the fiscal end of things. So for the FFR, which is also due today, also by 11:59 p.m. tonight. So I just checked before this call, and we have just over half of our FFRs submitted. So thank you guys for doing that early, and we'll be looking forward to reviewing those FFRs, and we will be in touch with you guys if we have any questions. Of course, if you have any issues submitting today or any other questions, feel free to email myself and copy Jerry if you are assigned to Jerry.
I have a quick question. This is Colleen at UWEB. Does every program submit an APR?
Hi, Colleen. It's Miranda. Nope. You guys, since you are a new program, you are not
That's
required
what I
to submit one.
Okay.
So, nope. Sorry. Don't worry about it.
That's okay. I just want to make sure.
Yep. You're not.
So this is your first year in operation, then your APR is not due tonight at midnight. And FFR. Same goes with FFR. So sighs of relief.
Yeah.
And Anna, would you like to give some other fiscal updates as well?
Sure. I have a couple other things I want to mention. One is that some of you have been contacted by us about IPERA. Just a reminder that that is a CNCS program where they are randomly checking some transaction level items from our subgrantees. And so we have been going through several levels of back and forth communication between the corporation and our programs. Four of you guys were chosen, and so the good news is if you haven't heard from us, the time period for being selected is passed, so you won't hear from us about that, at least this year. If you have heard from us, we just, again, thank you. We really appreciate you guys working with us so quickly. We've had fast turnaround times, and so we know we've had to work with both program and fiscal staff to get the information we need, and certainly, if we hear more, we'll be directly in touch with you guys for additional information. But my understanding from the grantee symposium a few weeks ago is that the corporation is going to be wrapping up their IPERA work this mid-month, so around now or soon if they stay on schedule. And so there's a overall aggregate amount that they're hoping that they would like to be underneath in terms of disallowed or questioned costs for all direct grantees of the corporation. And so if we meet that threshold as a whole AmeriCorps portfolio across the nation, then we would not have to do a similar IPERA request next year. So we will certainly stay tuned on that, and we'll let you know when we hear that. We think in Texas we came out strong. We did our part, so we will let you know if we hear more on that. One other update I want to mention is that I have been going through your final PER monitoring, and by this time everyone has heard back from me on your final PER review, and in fact, we've approved half of your PERs, your final PERs so far. So thank you guys for your quick responses. I've noticed really appreciate that. It helps, while things are fresh, it really helps us to kind of stay on track to keep responding. So thank you so much for that. And really our goal is to move that process along as fast as makes sense for us, and we don't want to hold your payments longer than we need to. So thank you so much for getting us the roster information and living allowance questions and FICA questions answered as I've come across those. That's all on the fiscal end of things.
Okay, great. Next, we're going to hear a little bit about service location updates from Laura.
Yes. By now, I think you all have probably also seen that we're asking you to ensure that your service locations are updated and accurate in eGrants. CNCS publishes a statewide profile for each state every winter and lists specific sites and locations where AmeriCorps members are serving. I know a number of you have already completed this and let us know that everything's updated, so thank you so much. If you still need to do that, just let us know when you're done so we can give the green light by October 31st.
Okay. Thanks so much, Laura.
I have a quick question again. It's Colleen. So I did that today, and I was just wondering, I was going to try to delete some of the locations we have in there because they're no longer what we are, where our service locations are, but is you just press inactive rather than deleting the entire service location?
I think you can choose either. That would be my guess.
Okay. If you expect it to ever be a site again, you might want it to make it inactive so you don't have to re-enter it at a later time. But if it will never be a site again for some reason, then I think it's fine to delete it.
Okay, so it's okay if it's in there even though it's not one of our service locations as long as it's checked inactive instead of active. Is that correct?
Yes.
As far as we know, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Can I ask a follow-up question on that one, too? This is Jennifer.
Yes.
I don't know if when you guys talk to your program officer at CNCS, but eGrants is, it makes you mark education or not, and I've talked a little bit about this with Miranda, but the list that they link to for the ID number that we have to use if we mark it as a school, the list is 2011 and 12, and there's been a number of schools that have been added since that time period, and it won't, even if I find the NCES number online, it doesn't let you do it because it's whatever eGrant system has behind it, it's assuming it's not an actual correct number because it's hooking up to that old list.
And Jennifer, can you confirm, is it requiring you to list that number, the NCES number?
If you say that it is an education, like at a school, yes, it does require it. So honestly, I've just said for a couple of mine, no, they're not schools, so I can add them and get it done by the deadline.
I think that's the best you can do. I think that that's behind some of the research that CNCS has been doing to show how many schools AmeriCorps members are actually in, since that's a really compelling number. And if you recall, they came up with that statistic last year that AmeriCorps members are serving one out of, I think, every 10 schools in America. So I think really it's a nice to have, but if they don't have the NCES code, that's the best you can do. And we will just make sure to let CNCS and the help desk at eGrants know that so that they can hopefully update the NCES data. I'm not sure what their partnership looks like with NCES, which is, I believe, the National Center for Education Statistics. So all you can do is what you've been doing. I think that sounds fine, and we just want to keep track of that so that we can provide that feedback to CNCS.
Okay, on that note, though, I have programs that have, like, and maybe this is the update that you guys are talking about. All my service sites are correct in there, but I have sites that are years old before they start asking for NCES numbers, so they're marked as no. Do I need to go in and subsequently change all those to say yes?
We will ask and get back to you. So Miranda will follow up, and we'll do our best to get an answer from the help desk on that.
Because I think, I'm probably not the only one. If there's no significant change in the service site, I don't update it. So when programs put them in years ago, it wasn't asked for.
Right, yes. Yeah, it is a change, and I do think it's more about the research department at CNCS trying to come up with some really compelling statistics about how widespread AmeriCorps is in serving schools.
Yeah.
That said, from our statewide perspective, what we care most about is just that the sites are current and accurate and that they're named. Because if you all recall, that detailed state profile that comes out every winter, usually in December or January, lists specific sites and cities where members serve. And we actually use a lot of that data for our Mayor's Day of Recognition, event planning, and things like that. So really the important thing is that we can see the sites and that we can export the site names and addresses and zip codes. And then I would say probably the NCES is icing on the cake. If we can get that to CNCS to analyze for research purposes, that's great. But I think for October 31st deadline, we just really need to make sure that your sites are all accurately listed and updated.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome. Any other questions on service locations before we move on to the NSCHC assessment process? Okay, great. And we will have time for questions at the end as well. So the moment you've all been waiting for is probably for us to talk a little bit about the new NSCHC assessment process, which you should have just received an email about from your grants officer around, I believe, noon today. So hopefully you have that email handy and can kind of be reading along with us. We just found out on Tuesday from the corporation what their process was going to look like. So we appreciate your patience. We have been asked as a state commission to take their materials and process and to adapt it for our sub-grantees, of which you all are part of that group. So we have been working the last 48 hours on making sure that we have crystal clear directions for you on how to make this all happen by the specified deadline, because it is a lot. And I think we were all, we all noticed when we got the materials on Tuesday that this is going to be quite a process for all of us, including One Star, because we will be collecting some of your information and actually, typing it into some CNCS forms and online surveys on your behalf. So we will be working alongside you to work on this process. So I'm going to ask Miranda to talk a little bit about this, but just from the big picture standpoint, please keep in mind that this is a good thing and that this assessment period is really designed to kind of give all of us some clemency and leniency on past criminal history check issues and to kind of hit the reset button, so that after this assessment period is over, we can all say that every grantee has had at least two staff trained, that at least you've monitored and done a file audit of your currently serving members and grant-funded staff, and that we can kind of wipe the slate clean and start all over again November 1st. So overall, this is a wonderful gift that we're being given. However, the price at which it comes is that we all need to do some work up front to ensure that we've all gone through the training and that we've all done the assessment that they are requiring. And One Star is absolutely part of that too, so we will be going through this process just the same as you and taking all the trainings and reading all the FAQs and going through our own files. So we feel your pain, and with that said, I'm going to let Miranda walk you through the email that was sent earlier today.
Okay, hi everyone. If you all have that email handy, it would be really helpful if you could reference that while I'm talking here. So you'll notice we set the deadline for Friday, November 21st. So that gives you a little over a month. We know you have reports due today and some of you have a grant due. So hopefully that will give you enough time to get this all done. And so if you open up that first attachment, it's a PDF document and it's guidance and instructions. And I do want to point out that this document will look really similar to one that CNCS put out. However, it's not exactly the same. So as Emily said, we tailored it to our state. So you'll want to use our instructions, not the one that CNCS put out. And so if you open up that PDF, there's some background in the beginning, which Emily's already gone over with everybody in our last call. But when you start on the instructions on page 2, that's where you're really going to want to pay attention really closely. So the first step is to identify two staff people. We recommend, choosing people that, are most likely going to be the ones running these criminal history checks on staff and members. So, that makes sense to us. But, we're not going to be checking who you choose, but we want you to identify two people. Then they're going to take that CNCS online training course. Many of you have probably already taken this already. It's a really helpful course. I know I've taken it before. And then after that, they just posted new FAQs, and so you'll follow these two links to do those two things. And I know CNCS stressed that they really want you to read both of those, because the online training does not cover all of the nuances of criminal history checks, so the FAQs will be really helpful to you in reading those as well. After that, you're going to take the online quiz, which we started to take, and it is not as easy as we thought. It is a little tricky, so just forewarning you, just watch those videos and the FAQs pretty carefully.
And also, I just want to say that quiz, that as we were taking it, we realized is broader than just AmeriCorps State and National. So it's really testing you on the full scope of the National Service Criminal History Check, which includes things like Senior Corps requirements as well. So they're really testing you on the full requirements under this this guidance. So just keep in mind, it is not necessarily information that you are 100% familiar with, and they really want to make sure that you've actually read the FAQs and taken the online assessment.
Yeah. So after you do all that, you're going to complete this NSCHC component assessment form, which is a Word document that you download. When you click that link, it will download for you. And you're going to complete that form for every single AmeriCorps member and staff person charged to the grant in your that are currently serving or working. And you want to keep a copy of that in every single person's file, whether it's their HR file or their AmeriCorps member file. And that's, you know, for you to keep on site. Please do not send that to us, because that would be over 2,000 documents to be sent to One Star. So, you know, we want you to do that for your own, the benefit of your own program. And if you have questions on that form, of course, you can talk to Laura and I, but, you know, we don't need to collect that form for you. And you will keep that in there. And, you know, we would most likely be looking for that in the future at some point. So just make sure you have that on file. After that, you know, CNCS is also really stressing that folks have strong National Service Criminal History policies and procedures, which we know we've worked on with many of you, if not all of you, on working on these. So they've developed a checklist that they've provided for you to fill out. And we do want to collect that, because we want to see kind of what your process is, and, you know, we really want to help you make strong policies and procedures, because, you know, you all might not be at your agency forever, so, you know, if someone else were to come on board, we want to make sure there's some, you know, trail in place for them to take over, and we just want to make sure, you know, because everyone does things slightly differently in certain instances, so we want to make sure that it's, you know, done consistently across the board for your members and staff. So you'll send that to us by November 21st. Then if anything is missing, if anything needs to be changed in your policies and procedures, you will fix that. And that's step four on these instructions for those of you following along. And again, just talk to us if you have any questions about what is correct. We, you know, they're doing this because there's been confusion. So, of course, we would expect, you know, you to ask us questions if you need any support. The next page provides some examples of possible corrective actions, so we can let you read those on your own. But, of course, that's not an exhaustive list, so there may be other items, of course. Then this last item, number five, you will complete the Certification of Completion Assessment Survey, which we attach to the email, and it is a Word document. And that will be due Friday, November 21st to us. When you complete that form, you're going to certify that you've completed this whole process, and then you will also certify that you've initiated any corrective action needed in order to meet the compliance with NSCHC requirements. And then you're going to fill out the survey. Most of these questions are, you're going to give a number. So, for example, how many records were missing NSOPW checks? You know, so then you'll put, hopefully zero, but there, you know, there might be a couple. And if they were missing, you would have gone and corrected that. Afterward, you're going to print out the survey, and the two folks who you assigned to be responsible for the process are going to sign and date. We understand there might be more than two people you would have complete this, but, you know, just have two people sign and date it. You're going to scan and email that to Laura and I by the 21st. And then that's it. So if you have any questions, definitely we're here. We tried to make this as clear and straightforward as possible. Hopefully once you're in it and doing it, it will be clear. So anything to add, Emily? Or
the most important thing, I think, is to pick the right two people, and you can have more people participate, and this is actually a really great opportunity to make sure that you train anybody in your organization who might possibly have anything to do with National Service Criminal History Checks now or in the future. If you have an HR person at your organization, I strongly, strongly, strongly encourage you to require them to be part of this process. I think one of the main things we've seen in monitoring of programs and files is that there's often a disconnect between employee hiring and criminal history checks and AmeriCorps member criminal history checks. And so This is a great excuse and opportunity to require your HR person to be involved in this process at the staff check level.
And one more thing, number 6 on that PDF document, just make sure you maintain documentation of this entire assessment. So just keeping track of all these forms that you're filling out. Scan, and I think you can scan those electronically if that's the process you would need. Just make sure you keep track that you did do this process. So
I think we should pause and take questions on this process because I know that that is a lot of information, and I know it took us a full 48 hours just to digest exactly what was being asked of everyone and all of the details that go with this. So are there specific questions on the NSCHC assessment process? Okay. Not hearing any, so we can take questions again at the end, and you may have thought of some by then, so that is totally fine. So moving right along with some of our other updates, I wanted to let you all know, and this is not an official announcement quite yet, but we have heard that Wendy Spencer, the CEO of the corporation, will be returning to Texas. She loves Texas, apparently, from November 19th through 20th. She will be attending the National League of Cities Conference, which happens to be hosted here in Austin that week. And what's interesting for all of us is that Wendy plans to do the big announcement of the Mayor's Day of Recognition for National Service right here from Austin, from our own backyards, amidst the conference. And we are also working on planning some kind of service project or training or possibly even a disaster-related simulation that Wendy can participate in along with mayors who are attending the conference. And we will be inviting AmeriCorps programs that are, within the Austin area or whoever it's convenient for you to attend. So please just keep that in mind. Maybe pencil it on your calendars if you have any members or staff in the Austin or Central Texas area who might want to attend. We do not have the specific date or time yet. We're looking at probably somewhere in the 9 to 12 time frame on one of those 2 days, November 19th or 20th, but we do not yet have confirmation because we're working within the conference schedule that Wendy is attending to try to put that together. So just pencil that in your calendars, and hopefully we'll have more details for you in the coming weeks. Another update that I wanted to give is regarding the Southwest Cluster Regional Training Conference. OneStar was successfully awarded a grant from CNCS to put on this conference for the entire Southwest region. We are currently in the very early planning stages of this event, and we are looking at this event taking the place of our regular annual grantee meeting. So I wanted to give you a heads up right now on the dates that we are potentially looking at. We do not yet have a final venue or city. We are currently looking at both Austin and Fort Worth as our potential city locations for the conference. We would like to be the very first regional conference to go. There were 5 regional conferences being put on this spring. Most of them are happening in March and April and May. And we would like to potentially do ours a little bit earlier than our normal grantee meeting. We are looking at the last week of February, which is February 23rd through 27th, March 2nd through 6th, very first week of March, and possibly the second week of March, March 9th through 13th, right before spring break happens. So those are the 3 weeks that we are most interested in hosting this conference. That's not to say that we might find out that there's a better week to do it in March or April, but those are our preferred weeks that we are looking at. So pencil those in your calendar, and please do let us know by emailing us if you have any concerns about any of those weeks or if there's a major conflict that we should be aware of that relates to your program. So please do keep us posted on that. We will also be launching the Planning Committee conference with all of our Southwest partner states. I think that is it for now. Okay, moving right along, I wanted to just give you a quick update that Gabby, our strategic communications specialist, and I have been working on updating our grantee resources library on our website. And so you might notice that some of our website looks a little bit different. We're kind of experimenting right now with some different navigation options, and we are updating the resources library and taking down, outdated material and updating it with new. So we'd love your feedback. If there's anything that you think would be extremely helpful on the Grantee Resources Library that's not up there, or anything that we took down that you really, really miss, do let your grants officer or I know. And we are definitely open to feedback on that. One thing that we did add was a Grantee Resource Library category for past AmeriCorps updates. So you can now see that there is a catalog of all AmeriCorps updates with links to those updates through the calendar year. I know that's been a long grantee request.
Not just to interrupt real quick, this is Miranda. Someone reported us that there's a clicking noise of some sort going on. We're not sure if it's on our end or in the audience, but if you all can just try to mute your phones, that would be really helpful. So thank you.
And you can use the mute button on your phone or press star one. Okay, it seems to still be clicking, so please do take a moment to mute your phone or press star one if you are calling in.
All conference participants are muted.
Okay, we just muted you for you, so sorry about that. We'll reopen it at the end for questions. And then next on our list, I wanted to briefly talk about something new that we will be doing in the next couple of months. We have some funds left over this year that we would like to spend by December 31st, and one of our priorities this year and moving forward is going to be having strong AmeriCorps branding and identity. And so we will be working with Gabby, our strategic communications specialist, to develop some branding materials that we can share with all of you as a kit, potentially including printing things like banners and signs, and things that help you co-brand your program logo with the AmeriCorps logo. And so I just wanted to give you a heads up on that because you may be hearing from Gabby or I in the coming weeks with some questions about what kind of branding materials would be most useful for your program. And we want to make sure that we don't print anything or design anything that really isn't useful. So we do want to hear from you about what types of, you know, what size banner do you really need, or what type of banner do you really most need? And this is something that we would expect you to use at your AmeriCorps-related events to make sure to incorporate into photo opportunities for the media and to document what your program does. And also, it will be a kit that you can use throughout the year to help brand events like Mayor's Day of Recognition, AmeriCorps Week, and service projects that you might be doing. So we're really excited to have Gabby's branding expertise on staff here right now. And so if you have any special requests, please do let us know because we do have some room for creativity with this project, and we're really looking forward to helping you all brand your programs in the best way possible. Are there any questions before I move on to our 2015-16 AmeriCorps NOFO? Okay. I'm going to unmute the line so that Elisa, who's calling in, can join us.
All conference participants are unmuted.
Emily, I have a question, but we were muted.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Good point.
It's not a question. It's more a thought. For the branding materials, tablecloths would be amazing for, like, when we do presentations.
I second that.
Tablecloths? Okay. For 8-foot tables, that kind of thing?
Yes.
Okay, Gabby's in the room. She hears you. Any other branding wish list requests? Okay, so I will turn it over to Elisa, but please do note that we're still hearing that clicking noise, so if you can make sure to mute yourself, that would be helpful. Elisa.
Hi, all. I had muted myself as well, so sorry about that. This is Elisa with One Star, and I just wanted to give a quick update on the 2015-2016 AmeriCorps Notice of Funding Opportunity. This is kind of a unique year in that typically One Star is able to prepare and post our application materials, gosh, it seems like September-ish. But this year, the corporation asked that we embargo all of our information and have a national release with everybody else on October 15th. So for those of you who were looking for information and didn't find it prior to the 15th, that's why. So if you're needing the information, the NOFO has been posted. Hopefully you received email notification of that. I've been doing webinar conference calls for those of you that are recompeting to get familiar with the information this year. I did want to just point out a couple of things or bring just a couple of things to the attention of the folks that are currently operating programs just to highlight some of the things that have specifically changed. The first thing is that if you're looking at the notice on page 4, one of the things that we recognized this past year was that for those of you that have August 1st start date and August 1st member start date, that is a significant challenge when OneStar does not get our notice of grant award from the corporation. It just simply doesn't give you the proper amount of time to start your program. So what we're doing is we are strongly discouraging anyone who applies from having a member start date prior to August 10th. We just don't want to put you or your members in the situation or in the position of kind of having to play it by ear, if you will, on when your members can actually start. So for this year, we're strongly discouraging any member start date before August 10th. For anyone that is a new program, and that is not you guys, but for anyone that is a new program, we are not allowing budget periods or project periods to start before September 1st. And again, that's just in an effort to make sure everyone just has ample time to get up and running before between when they're notified of their selection and when they're choosing to have a budget period start date. But I just want to let you guys be aware of that change. Another thing that's changed this year that I don't think has changed for a couple of years is that the living allowance has gone up, the minimum required living allowance. You can find information about that on page 14 of your Notice of Funding Opportunity. And as a result of that, your cost premise Y has also gone up unless you are a full-time fixed amount professional corps program. If you are a full-time fixed amount professional corps program, which we have one of you, your cost premise Y went down. So just be aware of that change. And then also in monetary changes, the Ed Award for members has also gone up this year. So all of that can be found on page 15 of the published NOFO. I'm not going to go into details on the notice on this call. I want to encourage participation on the webinars that we're hosting. Next week we're doing a webinar on the budget and performance measures. So be sure to tune in for that if you are so interested. If you are a program that is competitively funded and you are continuing for this year, you are not recompeting, which means you are in the middle of your, you would be going into year 2 or year 3 of your project period, you will be receiving continuation application instructions at a later time. I have not forgotten about you, so. This information that's published and available right now is only for brand new programs or recompeting programs for the 2015-16 program year. So I'll be quiet and see if you guys have any questions about that notice or the information.
And that is the end of our presentation agenda. So if you do have any questions, please do let us know at this time.
Emily, this is Jennifer again. Alisa, I'm sorry, I haven't read through everything yet, but is eGrants open for the new recompete?
No, eGrants is not open. Thank you for your question. So for those of you that are anxiously awaiting the application instructions, when those application instructions are released, one of the things that's kind of in combination tied to that is the release of eGrants. So when we release the application instructions, which should be no later than early next week is what we've been told by the corporation, then we will be able to provide you with that specific link for eGrants or the number that you need for eGrants to make sure that you can get started on your eGrants application. But no, at this time, eGrants is not available to you.
Thank you.
Hey, this is Cameron from College Forward. We have some members starting in January of 2015. Can you tell us if the increase in living stipend and Ed Awards will affect those members?
No, it won't. The members, the living allowance and the Ed Award are tied to members that are funded per, like, funding year. So if you have, it doesn't matter when the members start. It matters under which grant they're funded under. So if you applied as a 2014-15, no matter when they start, they're going to be tied to those 2014-15 amounts. So
Yeah, absolutely.
So whenever you guys are curious as to what a living allowance amount is or a Ed Award amount is, the best resource for you is going to be the Notice of Funding Opportunity for the year in which that member slot was made available. So just as an FYI, the NOFO is the place to go for that information.
Hi, this is Mariko Lissidier. I have a question. I'm wondering what the best way is to approach or who to talk to if we don't have the option of starting that late. Who should we connect with to kind of work through that?
You can talk to me, and we'll kind of work with you all and your grants officers. You all are in a little bit of a unique position. You'll find that the language says that we'll take exceptions on a case-by-case basis, so you would be case in case. So we're aware of you all and your situation, but just continue to work with us. We work with you all every year, and I think that's just kind of how it is. We do our best to get you guys the date you need. But, yeah, anyone else out there that maybe feels constrained by those dates, please let me know. And as appropriate, we'll work with your grants officer as well to make sure that we're getting you the best date for us and for you.
Great, thank you.
You're welcome.
Hi, this is Jacqueline with Travis County. Kind of unrelated to what you guys are talking about right now, I have a question about the National Conference on Volunteering and Service. I saw that they are pushing it back for this year to October 2015, which means there won't be one in this program year. And I'm wondering, one, how we should deal with our budget, because we have quite a bit of money right now in our travel budget set for that. And then two, looking forward for next year, do anyone know if they're going to put it back to June? So will there be two conferences within 1 year next year?
Hi, Jacqueline. This is Emily. I'll talk briefly and then turn it over to one of our fiscal folks. But just briefly, yes, I should have announced that. Thank you for bringing that up, that Points of Light did just announce, unbeknownst to us, but that they are moving their conference to Texas, Houston, actually, and it will be held October 19th through 21st, 2015. That was a really big change, and I do not know at this time if that is going to be a permanent change. I'm not sure that Points of Light even knows if that's a permanent change. I think they're sort of trying this out to see how it goes in October. In terms of budget changes, it isn't within this budget period for you all, as you mentioned, so I would definitely encourage you to work with your grants officers to reallocate that money elsewhere and or to bring more people to our Southwest Cluster Conference, which will be in February or March. So I think that that's a really great opportunity to have more folks join the Southwest Cluster Conference, but I will let Jerry or Anna talk about the budget change request process.
Sure. I'll jump in on that. So well said, Emily, that we certainly want to work with you to move those budget dollars to someplace that would be of use to you. And also, regarding the October date next year, if you find yourself in a scenario where you would be seeking to pre-register to get the best deal and so on, then you could work with us likely to get a pre-award cost allowance on your 15-16 grant so that you could incur those costs early on in the period or before the period even begins through a pre-award allowance. So we will send out this allowed request pre-award allowance and make sure you respond when she does that.
Okay, thanks.
You're
welcome.
Other questions?
Okay. I'm not hearing any questions on the NSCHC assessment process, so it sounds like you all feel confident in our instructions and that you know what to do. So, at last chance for any other questions before
we have
take
a question.
Yes,
Emily, it's Monica.
Okay,
so I was looking at the procedures review sheet, and at the bottom it says that we need to document the state of residency. How do we do that if we use a combination of vendor and self-check based on the states that don't match the vendor repository?
So can you tell us again which page you're on or which number you're looking at on that document?
I'm looking at the bottom of page 2 on the procedures review sheet.
Yes, is that number... Sorry, I'm looking at it.
I just X.
Trying to find the number.
I don't have it open. I just got out of it.
I want to make sure that I answer specific to that question.
Okay.
Page 2, you said, or page 1?
It was at the bottom of the last page. I'm pulling it up again. I'm sorry. I X'd out of it to look at something else.
It's on page 3 at the very bottom when it says vendor assessment. So what
the very last question.
And you use a combination, Monica, is what you're saying, of, like, for instance, assurance and then whichever states are not compliant with, you do on your own.
Yes, exactly. And so how do I need to go through and just put assurance down and then each state that doesn't match assurance and CNC or doesn't match CNCS vendors via assurance, do I need to put how we're obtaining those?
That sounds like the best process. I mean, we might have to work with you to review it, and that's partly why we want these back on the 21st of November, so that if we have any questions on what you've submitted, like related to this document, for instance, we can work with you to tighten it up a little bit and make sure that we feel like it's truly complete before we put in your certification to the corporation. So I encourage you to send an example of how you would fill it out to your grants officer, to Laura, and then we can look it over together and provide some feedback on that.
Okay.
And the same for any of you. Yes.
And then at the very end where it says program and vendor, it's again a combination, so we should just check both boxes there?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
And that's probably true of anybody using a vendor, because I don't know of any vendor that is 100% in alignment with the CNCS required repositories. Okay, any other questions? Good question. This is also, by the way, kind of your opportunity to assess as you go through the NSCHC assessment process if you need to be submitting an ASP, an alternate search protocol, to OneStar. And so we can send that on to the corporation. You may find out that something in your policies or procedures isn't compliant, but that you think you have grounds to be granted an alternate search protocol for specific reasons, whether you can't gain access to a specific state repository, or you have a slight variation in your process, or you know, you're using a vendor for a very specific reason. So this is a good opportunity to think through if you need to submit an ASP, and we can work with you to determine that. So please do keep your grants officers posted if you have any questions that come up as you do this. Okay, any other questions?
Emily, I have one more. Sorry, it's Jennifer again. I have one more question. Do you know how early we'll get information about Wendy Spencer? I'm just thinking there's a lot going on with the assessment and the grant due that week and everything else.
No, I have no idea, and I will say that they tend to be very last-minute events. I'm actually shocked we got a month's notice. So it could be, you know, 1 to 2 weeks before that we have any details, and it is always subject to change. When you have a presidential appointee coming to town, things do change rather, you know, quickly sometimes. That said, it will not be a requirement that you participate. It will just be an opportunity and a strongly encouraged opportunity for, you know, Austin area programs to bring any members that are available during that time period out to serve or help with whatever training or simulation that we do for Wendy. And it is a great media opportunity. There will likely be media involved. So I would say it is not a requirement in any way, just a strongly encouraged option.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Was there another?
Yeah, this is the Insidier. I have a quick question about the pronunciation. I see the timelines of when those things are due, but if we, so the person that's going to take lead on it for our site is on leave and won't be back on that until then, so we'll absolutely have more folks take it, but will there be opportunities for her to also do that training when she returns, knowing it'll happen after that deadline?
I was having a little bit trouble hearing you at first. Were you referring to the NSCHC assessment process?
Yes.
Okay. So it sounds like you have one person there who can start the process and one person on leave until what approximate date?
Well, we can. My concern is we can have two people who would make sense, but the person who moving forward for our site will be leading on that process is on maternity leave until January. And so it's just if there are opportunities for her to also take that training when she returns, knowing that she's leading it, do we want to make sure she can catch up?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm fairly confident that CNCS will leave those materials up on their resource page. They've posted them all publicly. The training course has been up there for some time, so that hasn't changed. And the FAQs that were just updated will remain posted. So it will be a very similar process. I don't know if they're going to close the quiz. There is a SurveyMonkey quiz. So if you really want to use that for anybody who's on leave right now, I encourage you to copy and paste as you do the SurveyMonkey and just copy and paste those questions so that you can keep them and use them as your own internal staff test for anybody else who does it at a later time.
That's a good idea. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and just take attendance. If anybody else has joined us that did not check in at the beginning, could you please let us know your name and program now?
Jill Humphrey, Amarillo.
Thanks, Jill. Anybody else?
Karen and Linda with AISC.
Okay. We have you, ladies. Anybody else? Okay, great. Well, thank you so much for your time today, and we are here for you. As if you have questions, we know that there was a lot of content covered today, and we thank you for everything that you do, and we look forward to receiving your final APRs and FFRs by midnight tonight. So thanks so much, and have a great afternoon.